Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of Wiltshire Mike's An Invincible Podcast here on the Aspect Network. I'm one of your hosts, Nagin Fu, and joining me to discuss the latest and greatest in the world of Invincible is Brianna Romero. Brie, how are you doing?
Nagin, it has been a week for me. I just finished a 16-hour drive from Colorado to Los Angeles. My boyfriend Jordan just moved out here and he had a lot of furniture, so we had to drive two separate cars. And I was in the car with our dog Nico, who is a husky, and he's a little crazy. So that's my week. I'm really tired. I'm unpacking, getting everyone settled into the wonderful land of LA. But I'm just ready to jump into this podcast episode and talk about this crazy Invincible episode. How are you doing, Nagin?
I'm doing pretty good. My week wasn't as eventful as yours, but still did a decent amount of stuff. A husky in the mix could have been cool, but I'm allergic. Oh. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Going to Atlanta this weekend, which will be hopefully a fun couple of days. Get to catch up with some people. But yeah, mostly since last week, I was just twiddling my thumbs until this day that I could watch this new episode.
It's always really exciting when it drops. Yeah. Like, oh my God, I can watch it. But Atlanta's exciting. So maybe this week you'll be a little distracted by the week-long wait. Okay, well, today we're recapping and reviewing the next part of Invincible Season 2 with Episode 6, titled It's Not That Simple. Let's kick off this week's show by just jumping into our overall thoughts. Nagin, let me start with you. What did you think of episode 6?
I thought episode 6 was another banger. I thought there was a lot going on, especially in the first 15 minutes. It kind of just jumps straight back into the action, and then spends the rest of the episode kind of exploring and expanding on a lot of the different plot threads that were touched on, you know, last episode, earlier in the season, and all the way back in season 1. So we'll definitely have to talk about some of those, because some of them are quite exciting. There's a couple revelations that I think are going to unfold in a cool way, hopefully in these next two episodes. But if not, then the next season.
Yeah, I completely agree. Absolutely fire episode. Pookie is looking absolutely fire this episode. I don't know why I said that. That's what absolutely fire reminds me of. Anyways, my first thing that I wrote down when this episode started was, what the fuck? And I think that recaps the beginning of the episode really well. Like you said, it was really quick. So much was happening. And I really loved how this episode played out, since we started with so much fighting and so much anxiety. And then towards the middle and the end of the episode, we kind of got a little deeper. There wasn't as much fighting or anything like that. It was really interesting.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of interesting things going on. A lot of characters that are maybe given a little bit more screen time this episode. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I feel like we're starting to see a lot more relationships build between like other characters, and we're also starting to just see more characters develop as well. Like Immortal, I think he's having a really interesting arc.
Yeah.
I think, again, I think Rexplode is having, or just Rex is having, a really interesting arc. I mean, I thought our man was dead for a second. but I'm glad that he is back. Yeah, I think this episode was so interesting and gives us a lot of insight into how these characters are going to continue to develop, and makes me wonder what the next steps are for them.
Yeah, I think that this episode is certainly juggling a lot of different plot threads, primarily with our various heroes. But I kind of like that this one shows a bit more of Mark's personal life, and kind of how he's sort of navigating that. But then the episode also definitely shows a little bit more of the Viltrum plot line, which is obviously kind of our overarching conflict of the series. Some really, really interesting stuff that is kind of revealed to us there that I'm really excited to talk about. And then, as well as another very cool post-credit scene that is sure to have some repercussions next episode or the season finale.
Yeah, I really, I am. Wow, what was I going to say? I was going to say, wow, oh my God, sorry. Hold on, let me also gather my thoughts. Wow, thank God we can edit this. Oh, okay, I know what I was going to say. Yeah, I'm really happy that we brought back the Viltrum plot line so quickly, because I know last episode we were kind of talking about when we thought that was going to come back, when we were going to see Alan again, when we were going to see Omni-Man again. And so I'm really pleased with how quickly different plots are coming back. I feel like we had to wait so long for this second part of season two, but it's really like starting to pay off, in my opinion. I think things are coming in at a great speed, and every episode is paced really well. So I'm not too upset with having to wait too long for part two of season two.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely feeling like it was worth the wait so far. And I have no doubt that the final two episodes of this season will deliver as well. But yeah, so a lot to discuss. I'm super excited to kind of dive into everything. When we come back, we'll be talking even more about some of our favorite moments and elements from this week's episode. We will be right back.
Hey, Aspect listener, my name is Alex.
And I'm Kate. Enjoying this show on the Aspect Network?
Then check out Bending the Narrative.
We are your one-stop shop for everything in the world of Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Each week, we go back and discuss your favorite episodes of the series with a particular focus on the characters and narrative threads that tie the series together.
In addition to discussing the original series, we also dive into other stories in the world of Avatar, like Legend of Korra, the live-action Netflix series, the books, the comics, and more.
Join us as we travel the globe with Team Avatar and discuss one of the greatest animated series of all time on Bending the Narrative here on the Aspect Network.
Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Viltrumites. Before the break, we discussed some of our overall thoughts on the episode, but now we want to dive into specific parts of the episode we really enjoyed. Bree, why don't we start with you? What were some of your favorite moments from It's Not That Simple?
Oh my gosh, what a question. I honestly, I loved every part of this episode, and I know that might be a cop-out answer. I mean, if I had to pick, it would probably be the beginning, like 10, 15 minutes where all of the action sequences came in. I was just so thrown for a loop in the beginning when I thought we lost our man Rex. I was devastated. I was so ready for his character arc. And so I guess I wouldn't say that was my favorite part because I was really worried and I was really sad. And I was also worried for everyone on the Mars mission. It was crazy, but it was a good kind of crazy, you know? It was a great episode. It was so well thought out. We hit all the things we needed to hit. What was your favorite part, Negan?
I agree that first like 10 minutes, 15 minutes is definitely some of the more exciting things that happened this episode. I'm a little surprised. I don't know how you feel. We didn't lose any of our heroes in the Mars mission. So I was wondering, like, maybe we'd lose like one of them, but I guess Duplicate was kind of our big death from these two episodes. But Shrinking Ray, she pulled through.
Yeah, that was really surprising. I was not expecting that. I was ready to say peace out, Shrinking Ray. But she's back, and I'm ready to see her what's next for her after she heals up. I also think some great parts of this episode were just like there was just so many smaller moments that really stood out to me. Like one thing I have written down here is Immortal. And when he just floats away after running with Alan, that was hilarious. I loved that Oliver was walking now and calling Debbie mama. There was just so many small things that really made this episode stand out to me. It was really, really great. But I guess we can kind of hop in and start going through the episode more into detail. Do you have any other thoughts about the Lizard League run-in?
Yeah, well, I you know, like you said, I was a little taken aback that Rex actually did get shot in the head, and that for a second it looked like he had bitten the dust, but then, you know, kind of a nice surprise to see him get up and then absolutely pulverize King Lizard.
The with bone.
His like bone arm hand,
that was crazy.
It was pretty awesome. It was probably the only time in this episode where I kind of like audibly, you know, said something or like gasped.
I was sitting there and I was like, how is he beating King Lizard up with the bone of his hand? Like, that's he had so much fight in him that he was like, no, I'm gonna destroy this guy with my bone hand.
Yeah, I that's gotta like hurt, right? To freaking just pummel someone with that. Like,
he just, yeah, it was the adrenaline, man. He was pulling through it. And I was so happy he did. He's quickly becoming one of my favorite characters, which I thought I would never say back in season one. I just thought he was, you know, our douchebag character. But I have a special place in my heart for Rex. So I can't wait to see what happens next with him.
Yeah, me too. He's definitely growing on me for sure. Like we mentioned last episode, neither Bree nor I have read the comics. I've kind of brushed up a little bit on some of the lore, some of the characters to come, but I don't know, you know, beat for beat what happens. So I just wanted to reiterate that for anyone that might have missed that in the previous episode.
Yeah, but we're going in completely blind, so we'll see how our reactions continue to grow as we watch more episodes. But speaking of growing, those damn sequins, man.
Yeah. Those guys won't let up.
No, they will not back down. I was so worried for our man Shapesmith. I thought he was going to be taken out. He was just making me laugh when he was like, "It tickles." And
Yeah.
I was like, "No, like he's so adorable and endearing. I don't want to lose our man Shapesmith." But so I'm glad that he also came out on the other side of that fight.
Yeah, and I also like how he just does not break his like human persona. He has not shifted back to his Martian form.
No, it's cute. I love him. I'm excited to see what they do with him.
He's
But
cool, yeah.
that Mars mission scene was really crazy. I loved seeing Immortal and Invincible's relationship. It's interesting to see Immortal try to take on like emotions.
Yeah. He's definitely, it seems like he's becoming a little bit more complex. Even though, he I mean, perhaps out of anyone on the show, and we can talk about this later, but he might like talk the most like a cartoon, like superhero.
Yeah.
He has like such a gruff voice. Like his delivery is so like, in a good way, like a little over the top.
Yeah, it works. It works really well for the character of Immortal. I think he is like the most by the book kind of superhero.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the fact that he is literally immortal, but he's just like strong, big guy. So Again, I'm so curious to see what they do with his character. I wrote down Immortal crying make him weaker.
Why is he showing emotion?
And I'll say it, guys. No one come at me. I am pro male feeling their emotions. Shout out to Immortal for feeling his emotions, but I'm worried for him and what that means for his strength and his superpowers. Is he gonna lose it all because he misses duplicate?
Yeah, if he becomes suicidal, does he
Oh my God.
just come back from that again and again? Like, how does that work?
Terrible.
Yeah. I suppose someone, depending on how he's killed, maybe has to kind of bring him back. I don't really know, like, if he
Yeah.
heals completely on his own, like invincible. But there's a really small but a cool moment in this Mars mission scene where Rudy makes that device that's gonna essentially take out the Sequids, and Immortal's like, I got it, like let me take it to the astronaut and do it. Then Mark kind of slips in and grabs it, and then pretty effortlessly just kind of moves Immortal to the side, and just points out that Mark is stronger and faster, and Immortal knows that. And Immortal is a little angry at first, understandably, but then he kind of is like, yeah, like you're right, don't mess up. So I thought that was really interesting, especially kind of seeing where, if anyone remembers at the start of season two, it opens with another dimension where that Mark is fighting Immortal, and they seem to be like decently matched. But in this episode, I just thought it was really interesting how easily Mark kind of moves him out of the way. And Alan does a little bit of that later in the episode that we'll get to. But
Yeah. Well, and it's also, now that you bring that up, the fact that Invincible says he's stronger and faster than Immortal, it makes me think that Mark is finally starting to understand his powers and how powerful he truly is. Because I feel like in the past he knows he's powerful, but he doesn't fully know how to tap into that yet and feel that confidence in himself. So I think that was like a really important moment for him to kind of step back and realize like, oh, I am stronger and faster than you.
Mark's maybe kind of coming into more of a leadership role, in terms of all these different heroes on Earth, because he is just the strongest one.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting, but I also loved how we ended the Mars mission with Eve and Mark hugging. You could cut the tension, or you could cut the sexual tension between the two of them with a damn knife. I was like, whoa, it's crazy.
I was, I was kicking my feet and giggling during that moment, because, I'm really, at this point, I'm only watching the show just for Mark and Eve. I don't really care about the Omni-Man, the like Ultraman stuff. I
No,
really
not.
just I just want the love triangle stuff.
Yeah, it's team, what is it? Team Meave? Team Meave till we die.
Eve.
Or Eark? Team Eark. Nope, I like Meave.
Eark.
But also I
Meave.
wanted to point out they did a really cool callback to our first episode with the Martians. When the Martians were like, oh man, we gotta kill Shapesmith. And Mark goes, I understand. And then they did that when we first saw the Martians, and I thought that was really cool.
Oh, did they actually?
Yeah, because Mark was like, well, we can't, or not Mark, the Martians in the first episode we had with them, they were like, we can't just let you guys go back. And then Mark said, I understand. And then ran away from them. I thought that was cool.
Oh, wow. I completely. That's a long span since I've seen some of those season one episodes.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm just a better fan than you are. But I also wanted to mention this is crazy and probably is a tangent we don't need to go on. But you know how when they, you know how they say when Monster Girl turns into a monster, she gets younger each time.
Right.
Why do I feel like she never actually gets younger? Like, why haven't we seen her as baby?
I do think about that. I am kind of curious what like the reverse aging timeline looks like for her. Like, is it like how many like days is she theoretically aging backwards every time she transforms and turns back?
Yeah, it's so interesting to me. I just, why have we not seen baby yet? But that I wanted to point that one out. If
I
the
know.
invisible people are listening, can we please as baby?
I think Invincible writers, or Invincible animators, you guys should start like drawing her a little shorter each time.
Yeah.
And that way,
She just
we
starts
can.
not talking in English. She just babbles and Rudy, I could save you.
I do want to. It is really interesting because I think at some point we would have to see that, because they keep telling us like, oh yeah, this is a thing, and like Rudy cares a lot about this thing, but we haven't really, we're not visibly seeing it yet. But obviously, we're still relatively early into the show, most likely. So maybe
Very,
they'll kind of, I assume they'll explore more of that as
very.
the seasons progress.
Well, speaking of baby, our man Oliver and Debbie and Cecil, that was an interesting scene. And Debbie is just a boss ass mom.
She's cool. She's like that. There's a great moment with her and Cecil, where Cecil is trying to basically offer his services to help raise Oliver, presumably because Cecil is he knows what Oliver is, and he kind of wants to oversee that to make sure nothing's really going on that he's not on top of, because he's kind of one of the, I guess, the lead defenders of the planet. And Debbie kind of just says no. She kind of just refuses and mentions that she's the one that raised Mark and he just saved the world again. So
She's pretty
clearly
capable.
she knows what she's doing. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, and I know we talked about it briefly in the first episode, but she's doing this for Mark, which I think shows how amazing of a mom she is. Yeah, I thought that was great. What do you think of April, the new nanny, possibly?
Yeah, so I was actually going to ask you if because she April comes to the house and just outright says Cecil sent me, but I wanted you to know because I don't think you should be entrusting your child to and not have all that information. And Debbie seems to warm up to her. But do you think that it's just part of Cecil's manipulation and his kind of strategy, or do you think April is actually just being really honest and Cecil doesn't know that she's revealing that information to Debbie?
I am so torn because I want April to be this great nanny for Oliver and this good friend to Debbie. But a part of me doesn't want to fully trust her. I don't know if I don't want to trust her because I think Cecil sent her, or if I don't want to trust her because I think she's just out to do evil. On Oliver and Debbie, like I can't even tell if she is actually from Cecil, if Cecil sent her, or if she's like a Viltrumite. I don't know. I feel like you can't trust anyone in this show, is what I've learned. So
Yeah.
I'm keeping my radar on April.
Yeah. I suppose I would be a little surprised if there's absolutely zero drama going on with her and she's just this regular, like, how old is she? 40, 40-year-old white woman. I don't it's hard to gauge sometimes with animation, but I she might be like Donald where she's like a cyborg.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
That's a point.
Speaking of cyborgs,
Wow, look at us and these transitions.
a character from season one, I think maybe episode six or something, Rick comes back this episode, and he looks like a normal person. And the last time we saw him, he had been turned into one of the Reanimen, and then he kind of got taken by Cecil's people, and I don't think we've seen him since. But William was pretty broken up about it back in season one, and we finally get to see Rick again here. And Donald mentions that he went through intensive body reconstruction, and clearly, Rick, while he physically looks normal, clearly, he might be having some sort of existential crisis internally. What do you think about this plot thread coming back?
I feel so bad for Donald because you can just see him struggling to watch Rick. He knows what Rick is going through internally, and I don't, it's just, it makes me so sad that they're contemplating their lives now that they're reconstructed humans. I mean, I'm happy that he's back, but I don't know what kind of consequences that these characters like Donald and Rick, I don't know what's going to happen because of them. You can see that they're clearly like going through something in that. And Donald even said it that himself, that that kind of trauma that they went to is eventually going to like resurface. So I don't know what that means, but it makes me nervous.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of like we mentioned in the last episode where the whole Donald plot line is a little bit Blade Runner, Westworld. It's definitely a little unsettling. I think it kind of keeps you on edge. And I'm just so curious to see where that goes, because I can't say I was expecting Rick to make a return. And be he had another character that we explore. Because what's your face? April Halsom was she was kind of the enough for this episode. I was like, oh, okay, like this is another character. But then they brought back Rick. There's a lot of characters. But I have faith that all these plot threads will kind of converge nicely.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of converging, we have the kind of montage-ish scenes of the Guardians of the Globe mourning their losses and kind of the defeats that they went to this go around. That these scenes, these this montage nearly made me cry. I felt so bad for them. You could just see it in their faces, just like that they know that they're down bad. Yeah,
Yeah.
it was sad.
It was pretty sad. I'm just thinking about how much kind of drama is how much like a character as relatively minor as duplicate, just her death kind of we see that take a toll on those characters. So it'll be very interesting to see, probably later into the show, if when like a more prominent character dies, what that aftermath looks like. Because I mean, we all knew duplicate was she had a probably limited window anyway, because she can't do that much.
Immortal said that Duplicate's powers were a family curse, so.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually really interesting. I think I might have missed that
Oh.
in the episode.
Well, now you make me think that I'm making it up. I'm
No, you're
delusional,
probably right.
Megan. I'm delusional.
Are you just gaslighting me into thinking that it's a family curse? I don't know. You're probably right. I have no doubt that you were probably paying more attention and remembered that. But that is interesting.
Yeah, it was just a sad scene, but it was also nice to see them all come together, and grieve together and remind us that they're a team. They're the guardians of the globe. But you want to know who's not a team? Mark and Amber.
Yeah, they're as Rex Splode put it, Mark and Amber are thumbs down. Yeah.
I know how to blow a raspberry, Negan.
Yeah, I don't really know either. Rex
Oh,
did it pretty well.
okay. Maybe you should practice for next time. But yeah, that was. I mean, we. I did you notice the coffees that they got? Their latte art was in the shape of a broken heart.
No, I did not.
Oh my God, Negan, did you even watch this episode?
I watched the episode twice in preparation for this. Wow, no, I didn't. That's a cool detail. I'll have to.
I had to I re when I was watching it, I had to rewind it because my boyfriend didn't see it. And I was like, did you see that? And then I was like, it's they're broken hearts in the coffee. Wow, I can't believe
Okay. So
it.
Jordan also didn't see it. So I'm not alone.
But I thought that was a good foreshadowing moment as to what was going to come. I mean, you can kind of feel the vibes when they first sit down. Jordan leaned over to me and he goes, yeah, they're about to break up.
Is Jordan also team Meve?
I think so. I would hope so. I'd be
Yeah.
a little worried if he wasn't.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I think what they're going through is for the best because we are team me.
Yeah. The they need to go ahead and just break things off.
Yeah, I mean, it was really fun and interesting seeing Mark talk with Art, our
Yeah.
costume guy, and then Amber talk to Eve. I was like, okay, this is a little interesting.
Yeah, some cool, just some nice intercutting between those two conversations, and we can see that both Mark and Amber seem to feel like they're the problem in the relationship, or they're not, maybe doing enough, and they're kind of letting down the other person, which is kind of, it's kind of sweet. But I do think Mark needs to dump her ass nicely.
Do you think they are gonna get to that point?
In this season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see it kind of culminating, if not next episode, then maybe in the finale of the season. Because it does feel like something, every time we see them in season two, I feel like there's almost like a growing tension, and not in the way, like, I don't think it's gonna culminate in like some big argument. I think they're probably just gonna have a conversation and say that they maybe should split for a bit.
It's
But
interesting
yeah,
that
go ahead.
you say that they're not going to break up in this like big kind of way because now I might be crazy for this, and I
Okay.
actually might not be crazy for this because Jordan was the one who pointed it out, but. So our man Alan comes back, and Mark and Alan go to talk in the room, and Mark puts a sock on the doorknob, and Alan breaks the bed. I thought Amber was going to come home and accuse Mark of cheating, and that was going to be the end of them.
Oh.
But that wasn't the end. So no, I totally agree with you that it's just going to kind of go down in a simple conversation. And I don't know if it'll affect Invincible in a huge way. I'm sure it'll affect him a little bit. But we'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be a little down in the dumps for a little bit, until he realizes his dream woman is
Right.
right in front of him. Yeah.
Or our dream women. But
Right.
also, before we move past this moment of Mark and Amber kind of contemplating their relationship. I wanted to point out that I love Art, and I love Mark Hamill, and I love that Mark Hamill voices him because you, in my opinion, you can't really tell that it's Mark Hamill. I think he's a very, very talented voice actor.
Yeah.
He really pivots to different characters really well with his voice acting. I mean, we have Alan, who is voiced by Seth Rogen, and you can tell it's Seth Rogen, which is also really
Sure.
cool, but I really love Mark Hamill and his voice acting. So I just wanted to throw that out there,
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, obviously we know it's Mark Hamill, but he is, out of all the cast of Invincible is pretty stacked, and they get a lot of pretty A-tier film and television actors. But Mark Hamill is someone that obviously specializes in voice acting, or at least has been since like the 90s. And so he is, maybe better than a lot of the other actors in terms of kind of slightly tweaking his voice.
Yeah, it's interesting. Voice acting is just a whole other world.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Speaking of other worlds, we have the Omni-Man and Viltrum plot line. It has come back.
Yeah.
Quickly.
And I think this is probably the, for me, all the Viltrum stuff is just some of the most exciting and interesting parts of the series. And there's
Yeah.
some really, really cool stuff that we kind of learn here.
Yeah, I agree. I would not be mad if this plot line carried on for past season two, you know? It's just so interesting. I'm sure it will.
Right.
And we got back to the books that Nolan talked about. That
Yeah. Art shows Mark these sci-fi books that Nolan wrote, and then Mark looks through them, in a really cool, essentially just an exposition dump scene where we kind of shift to Nolan. His voiceover, we kind of see some glimpses at some potential threats to the Viltrum Empire, which is really cool.
Yeah, that was really interesting because when we were first reading them with Mark, I was really confused. I was like, what do these stories mean? But it wasn't until, you know, we see Alan again that I was like, oh, I see. So this is how we can defeat them.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. We see a glimpse at Space Racer, who, at least at this point, is kind of just like a myth. No one is fully sure if he actually exists, but he is shown to have a very cool gun, which I cannot remember what it's called. Infinity Blaster, something like that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to the fans of the comics, but I'll look it up after this. But we also see the Ragnars, which are kind of like these humanoid dinosaur creatures that take out the Viltrumite that's with Nolan pretty easily. And obviously Nolan somehow gets out of that situation, but those guys are pretty powerful from what we see.
Yeah, I love when we bring in little creatures, or maybe not so little creatures. I just really love Mark and Alan teaming up. I think that's a dynamic duo. Malin,
Malin.
you know, I ship them too.
Yeah, I think. You know, I think maybe some will they, won't they with Mark and Alan, kind of before he ends up with Adam Eve. I think that is probably the trajectory of the show.
Yeah, I think honestly we should just change this podcast to be about all the relationships in this show, all the romantic relationships in this show.
Yeah, I agree. Forget all the fight stuff.
Yeah, no, that's not cool. We like love on this.
Yeah. Let's just, and, you know, Mark also points out that he notices that Alan has gotten a little more swole since he last saw him, so
And Mark brought him to his bedroom, or yeah, Mark brought Alan to his bedroom.
Oh
So
yeah.
all
And they were
signs,
in there for a couple hours, I think, is what
the sock
William says at the
was
end.
on the door.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
yeah, I'm really excited for this team up. I think it's gonna I it's so interesting how they've pieced these pieces of the puzzle together in order to defeat the Viltrum Empire, because at first I was like, there's no way they're ever going to be defeated. But now I'm like, oh, there is a way. Perhaps.
Yeah. We're slowly introducing, some pieces to the puzzle that could really affect the big Viltrumite war. So it's very exciting. And yeah, a lot of that stuff with Nolan's books and Mark talking to Alan, I think was some of the more interesting stuff in this episode.
Well, I completely agree. But when we come back, we're going to discuss that big ending tease and where we think season two goes from here. We'll be right back.
Hey, Aspect listener, my name is Alex.
And I'm Kate, enjoying this show on the Aspect Network.
Then check out Bending the Narrative.
We are your one-stop shop for everything in the world of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Each week, we go back and discuss your favorite episodes of the series with a particular focus on the characters and narrative threads that tie the series together.
In addition to discussing the original series, we also dive into other stories in the world of Avatar, like Legend of Korra, the live-action Netflix series, the books, the comics, and more.
Join us as we travel the globe with Team Avatar and discuss one of the greatest animated series of all time on Bending the Narrative here on the Aspect Network.
Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Viltrumikes. To wrap up this episode, we wanted to discuss in more detail about the multiverse mid-credits scene and where we go from here towards the finale. Megan, what do you think?
I think see, I was already a little bit shook by the ending of the episode, which shows the sequids. It reveals the sequids are on Earth, and this is clearly going to be a problem next episode and maybe into the finale. And then literally like 10 seconds after that, we see Angstrom Levy getting a suit tailored. And I don't know if we've seen him since, geez, maybe episode one of season two. I can't remember. Or maybe episode two. He was such a like presence, at least in that first episode, that I haven't forgotten about him, obviously. But I think it has been a while since they've touched on that plot line. So I was glad to see him return. Thought it was cool when he walks through a couple of different dimensions. One of them has zombies, which was awesome.
Always have zombies. Every time there's a multiverse, there's always one with zombies.
Yeah, it's just zombies are just cool. I also love in that little scene, I don't think any of the zombies are actually like animated moving. They're just kind of like still, and they put in the zombie noises, which is not a critique. I totally understand, but I thought that was funny.
I thought it was really interesting. I loved how they portrayed that and his ability to do that and how scary it is that he can do that. And now that he's in modern day, I'm really nervous for what's to come. I thought it was so interesting where he landed, though. Like, was that New York that he was in? What was that?
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out. I wasn't sure if it was New York or if it was like, a city outside of the US. But it definitely probably New York. Is that where
Where you live.
Right. But is that where Mark lives?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Yeah, now I'm really racking my brain because I'm not sure what city it's in. I mean, I know he and Omni-Man have that big fight towards at the end of season one, but I can't remember if it's supposed to be New York. They definitely say it though. It like early in the season when like Adam Eve goes to like help with cleanup.
Oh yeah, well, upon a Google search, they are in Chicago.
Okay, Chicago.
I assume he's in Chicago.
Okay.
Never been there, so I sorry to the listeners, but I don't know what Chicago looks like. All I know is Bean.
Yeah. I was there in December actually and saw the bean. It was pretty cool. But okay, yeah. So presumably Angstrom shows up in present day Chicago. And I guess we'll see kind of what mischief he gets up to
Yeah, do we
in the
think
next episode.
that in the next episode we're gonna see him again, or are we gonna have to wait till the finale to see him?
I feel like though we'll see him at least for a brief scene in the next episode. I don't know how much with the whole Sekhwood storyline, still going on. I don't know how much time they'll have to devote to the multiverse thing. And I also think that storyline in general is meant to play out across the show. So maybe we won't see him till the finale, but I imagine we'll get one or two more scenes in them before the season's over, and they'll kind of set up, maybe introduce something really cool. A lot of people, I've heard some like rumors about Spider-Man showing up.
Oh.
I don't know, like, I don't know about that one.
That'd be crazy, and really exciting. But either way, I'm just really excited to see how these final two episodes go down. I mean, every week I come back and I'm like, wow, that was a really, really great episode of television. So I can't wait for next week.
Yeah, it the show really, really energizes me, really hypes me up. And I'm gonna be sad when the season is over in 2 weeks, and then we'll kind of just be waiting until The Boys comes out in the summer, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Do you think you would ever read the comics?
I think I own. I don't know exactly kind of how the overarching comic is like split up, like if you call it like volume one, but I know I own probably the equivalent of season one, the actual comic. And I've kind of read through it a little bit, but I don't know if I've actually sat down and read it front to back. But I think what I will do is maybe as each season plays out, I'll read the corresponding comics and just to kind of see, what stays the same and what they change. So I think it would be interesting. But I'm enjoying kind of watching the show blind and just being surprised by everything that happens.
Yeah, I feel like reading the comics after each season ends is a good way to like ease the pain of being without new episodes every week. But I
Yeah.
definitely, yeah, I agree. I've been enjoying going in blind each week. So we'll see. Maybe after this season we can do a book club.
Podcast will just turn in. It'll just be the same podcast, but we'll just be talking about the comic.
You just start reading the comic in voices.
Like
In
voice.
voices.
Yeah. Just like a read along kind of. But
Yeah.
let's just start like an audiobook, right? Where we read, we narrate, and people just listen to that.
Yeah, but we call it a podcast and we put it on the aspect.
Yeah. I think people would enjoy us, replacing like J.K. Simmons and Steven Yeun and with no like visuals to accompany it.
Oh yeah. I think
Yeah.
that'll be really successful.
Okay, I'm gonna start working on some of my impressions then, and then maybe next episode
Test
we
them
can
out.
kind of see what we think. We can workshop it. throughout this
Yeah,
podcast.
we can play like a game, like guess if this is the actual actor or is it Brie and she's just
Right. Is it just Negan and Brie, or is it Seth Rogen?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think that would stump a lot of people for sure. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to this episode of Vulture Mike's An Invincible Podcast here on the Aspect Network. Brie, where can people find you online?
On Instagram, you can find me at Brianna underscore dot Romero. On TikTok, you can find me at Big Head Brie with three E's. And on Letterboxd, you can find me at Brianna Romero. And if you want to play New York Times games with me, let me know.
Yeah,
Megan, where can
cool.
I find you online?
You can find me online on Instagram and TikTok at NaganTheStallion_, and on Letterboxd, I'm Nagan2000. And yeah, on the East Coast over here, it's past midnight, so after this, I probably will play like the new Wordle, the new Connections spelling bee. Kind of been getting into it. I've like wasn't on that train for so long, but now I'm on it.
I'm jealous.
Please be sure to subscribe here to The Aspect on YouTube and any platform where podcasts are found. Follow us on Twitter/X, Instagram, and TikTok at The Aspect Co. Thanks so much for listening, and remember,
think, Mark, think.